right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to Galatians. Galatians and chapter 4 is where we're going to be for this evening's Bible study. Galatians chapter number 4. We'll begin reading there at verse 1 down through verse number 7. Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1 down through verse number 7. The Bible says this: Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But, and this is the verse we're going to focus in on tonight, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now you notice that phrase there, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come. That's what we want to look at just a little bit tonight. In the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. That at just the right time, at just the right moment, at precisely the time God the Father had appointed, God came in a wrapped in flesh to redeem us of our sins. And that's what we want to look at for just a little bit here tonight. Now, as we get started, think about, if you would, have your mind go back, if you can have it go back that far, to when you were a kid. And
still a kid.
That is the spirit we need in this place, isn't it? And, you know, what's the Bible say? If you don't become as a little child? Or am I thinking of a wrong verse? I'm thinking of something. But think of that best gift you ever received for Christmas. Anyone want to share one of the best gifts you ever received? Anybody have an idea?
Yeah, socks and underwear. And candy I couldn't use. Keep it moving.
Anybody else? Maybe?
There was a kid on Facebook that got an avocado and he was so excited.
An avocado.
Mine was a PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, an avocado.
Anybody else? Favorite Christmas gift or your one of the best gifts you ever received at Christmas?
A car.
A what?
A car.
A car, a C-A-R.
C-A-R.
Okay. Like a toy car or like a vroom vroom?
Like a toy car?
No, a real car. I was working.
Oh, okay. So you went a little further in life past being a kid to... I'm like, who would get...
I thought a little kid.
Yeah, a little kid. You're not driving.
A train set,
okay.
A cowboy gun and holster.
Okay, all right.
I'm a long ranger.
Mine would probably have to be a PlayStation, you know, one of the console systems. Ms. Sally?
Well, we didn't have a lot of money. There were so many children. But my favorite time of Christmas, my dad always made sure we had, you know, oranges and treats and made everything special.
Absolutely. Speaking of, you know, treats that you had growing up, ours was probably... And I found them last year at Ted Clark's, the chocolate star cookies. Anybody know those? They're like a graham cracker in the shape of a star, chocolate coating with white sprinkles. And they're delicious. I'm going to have to try and see if we can find some. But, you know, you think of things you received as a child, even as an adult, you know, these Christmas gifts. But whatever your favorite gifts may have been, the greatest gift ever given is God's gift of his Son as our Redeemer.
Yes.
Amen. It's God's gift as our Savior. I mean, that beats any gift we can think of that has ever been given or will ever be given. And here in Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, he reminds us of this gift. Notice again, verse 4, number 1 tonight, we see the fullness of time had come. Verse number 4, Paul says here, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." And so we see here the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church at Galatia, and he, of all of his letters that the Apostle Paul would write, Paul wrote some of his strongest words to this church at Galatia. And the reason he had to be so forceful in his writing and in his dealings with the church at Galatia is because this was a church that had been deceived by false teachers. In fact, and I didn't look up the verse, but somewhere here in Galatians, it talks about, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" And this church was deceived and led astray by false teachers. And basically what was happening was that they were being led astray, that they could be saved by something other than faith in Jesus Christ. And here the Apostle Paul comes to them and he reminds them that they were saved only through that faith in Christ. Anything else that they would try to do would not save them. The same is true today. We are only saved by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wanted them to hear again the gift of God to them. And so we think tonight about the time this was written in the ancient world. The child was under the care of a guardian until his father, in essence, set him free. That's what verses 1 through 3, that's what that's talking about. Notice there again, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." And so he was an heir, but in some ways he was no different than a slave until his father's intervention and until the father set him free. And that's who the Galatians were. When you read the book of Galatians, the whole book, you find that they were slaves to their own religion. They were under the control of the evil one until God stepped in and sent the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So at just the right time there, verse number 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God came." And he came at a very interesting time, because politically speaking, here in Galatians, the world was largely at peace. Not like our world today. Our world is far from being a peaceful place. Travel was safer. A common language was in place. You had Jewish synagogues where monotheism was taught, existed throughout the entire empire. And the early church had an opportunity to then spread the message of the gospel. And so politically, things were very peaceful. Politically, things were very much where you would want them to be. But then when you start to look at it theologically, the world was asking questions about sin, about guilt, about death, about evil and evil powers. And Paul, as he's writing here in Galatians chapter 4, what he wants to get the church of Galatia to realize is that the gospel was the answer to all of those questions. Whether they had a question about sin, whether they had a question about guilt, whether they had a question about death or evil powers, whatever their question, the gospel had the answer to all of their questions. And here we see Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 again. "But when the fullness of time was come," we see here tonight that God's never early. We see that God's never late. His calendar and his clock may not be our calendar, and it may not be our clock, but he's always right on time. Always right on time. We were talking Sunday, and most of you probably overheard it or Zena informed you personally that in February her job is closing down. And after 34 years, she's losing her job. And we got to talking and we both came to this same conclusion that God is always right on time. He's going to have something for her that, you know, everything's going to be all right. But now I also believe our God has a sense of humor. Because sometimes to us, God's answering of our prayers, it may seem like the very last minute, doesn't it? But guess what? It's not the last minute. It's right when he was supposed to answer that prayer. Not a moment sooner and not a moment later. And because of that, we can wait on him in faith. Now that waiting, that's a hard thing to do. I mean, we go to the doctor's office, and we sit in the waiting room, and then what do? They take you back to the room to make you wait some more. And by the time the doctor finally comes in, you've probably been there about an hour, and you're tired of waiting. You want to see the doctor, you want to get in, and you want to get out. But with God, we can wait on him in faith and not worry about anything else. And so we see the fullness of time had come, but not only that, we see when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. Verse 4 again. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why did he send forth his son? Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And so, we see here, God took the initiative to come to us. We could not get to God, and God knew this. So he knew he had to make a way. And so because of that, he sent his son, born of a woman, by the way, experiencing everything we experience. Jesus, in his life, he experienced everything we experience except for one thing, and that was sin. He was the only one to ever live without sin. He was, in truth, the sinless Son of God. And because of that, he was born under a law that condemns all others because we're all sinners. But Jesus, who was sinless, would pay the penalty in our place. We were sinners, condemned under the law. But God stepped directly into our story. And now you notice there in verse 4, we see here two words, and they're separated by some other words, but we see the words, but God. But God. But God. Or but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. So in other words, we were under the law. We were condemned. But when time had reached the time it needed to, but God. You've often heard me say, if you ever want to do a great study in the Bible, go through Genesis to Revelation and find all the instances of the phrase, but God. Usually after that phrase, but God, there's almost always something good after that phrase. And you think here, but God. The Galatians, they might have felt unloved. But God loves them anyway. They might be weak. But God gives them strength. They might feel lonely. But God does not leave them. And by the way, tonight, there may be times you don't feel loved. But God still loves you. There might be times tonight you feel weak, but God gives you strength. There might be times you feel like you can't possibly go on anymore and do anything else that day, but God gives you the strength to do it. There might be times you feel lonely, but with God, he promises to never leave or forsake us. And so God came himself to do what no animal sacrifice, what no national king, what no obedient prophet could do. He came to save us. And he'll do just that for those who put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see he came. He came, number three tonight. He came to redeem those under the law. Verse number five again. The Bible says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, some of you may be familiar with programs like this, but there are several programs out there that for every purchase you make in the grocery store, at Walmart, at Best Buy, at Lowe's, or whatever the case may be, if you're part of these different stores' reward programs, you can earn points. And once you get enough points, well, then you can redeem those points toward items. I know I've had Best Buy. Every now and again, I'll spend so much at Best Buy, and then I'll get a $5 certificate in the mail. And I'm thinking, you know, over the last couple years, I've spent however much, and here's that $5 certificate. It made it all worth it. And we redeem it toward other items. And we remember thinking, especially as a kid, wow, you know, how cool it was. We're getting free stuff. Mm-hmm. But then we realize we only got those rewards because we'd already spent the money. Mm-hmm. So in reality, the redemption was hardly free because it came at a cost. So in reality, that free item really wasn't free. I remember seeing a meme years ago now, and I'll have to see if I can find it again. It was a husband and wife, and they were walking through the mall or the department store, and they were walking past this display of, I guess it was clothing or something.
Shoes
or something, and it had this big sign. It said 50% off. And then the little chat bubble above the husband, who just looked, you know, so downtrodden. And the chat bubble said, if you keep walking, you'll save 100%. And, you know, that's true. You know, they get you with these big signs, 50% off, and you don't need it.
No, they raise the prices, you
know?
Too.
Yeah, then they raise the prices anyway. And, you know, it's like those end caps at Walmart or Target or Tops or whatever. You know, those impulse buys. You know, you go there with your list and then you turn the corner and you see this end cap and you're like, oh, I need that family size package of cookies. And you put them in your cart.
A family size.
Or then is your, what?
It only feeds one person.
Yeah, only feeds one person. Then as you're checking out, you know, they have all the candy and gum and, you know, little trinkets and the drinks and and you're checking out, and it's like, oh, I can go for a Snickers bar. And you put it on the...
That's for the kids.
Huh?
That's for the kids.
That's for the kids, but that's where they get you.
It's like we went to Lowe's today, and usually we get 5% off for having the Lowe's card.
Yeah.
Unless it's on sale.
Oh.
So they
10%. Yeah, 10% veterans discount. They're not given...
On the sale items?
So they take a $500 item, and they... knock $5 off if it goes on sale.
But they say if it's on sale, you don't get any discount.
No discounts.
Well, everything is on sale, like $5 for $6.
Oh, my soul.
So then that's how they get you.
That's horrible. That's horrible. But, you know, so the redemption was hardly free. It came at a cost. And, you know, we think about our Lord's sacrifice tonight, and that's the same with the redemption that Jesus purchased for us. For us, it cost us nothing. All we had to do was reach out and accept that free gift. Put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it did come at a cost as Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5:8 tells us that. And it's through his death, Jesus gives forgiveness to sinners. He gives restoration to those separated from their Creator, cleansing to the guilty, reconciliation to the rebellious, and life to the dying. And you know, in the end, you think about Christmas, and Christmas makes little sense without Christ. Christmas makes little sense without Jesus. Christmas makes little sense without the cross. And so we see he came to redeem us, And then, fourthly and finally tonight, we see he adopts us as children. He adopts us as children. Notice there, if you would, verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his own Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. Oh, you think about the night. Redemption removes the negative of our sin. And adoption grants us the joy of being made and adopted in, or as the Bible says, grafted in to the family of God. And we can call on him as Father. You see that phrase there? Verse number 6, crying, Abba, Father. It has the thought, the idea of the intimacy of a child crawling into daddy's lap. And he chooses us, and this is the greatest thing tonight. He chooses us not because we're worthy. Because guess what? We're not worthy tonight. He chooses us tonight not because we're lovable. Because sometimes we're not lovable.
Amen.
He chooses us because he is love. The Bible tells us that.
Yes.
God is love. We were wicked. We were wandering. But God pursued us. And listen, if God pursues us, there's been so long we can run from him. Eventually, we won't have a choice but to accept that gift. Now, unfortunately, there are some, they just keep running until, well, they do go and pass on. But the greatest gift of all tonight is the Savior that was born as a babe in a manger. So yes, this year, we'll spend a lot of time. Some will spend a lot of money on gifts that really won't last. It brings us joy. And listen, we all love giving. We all love being giving something. And you know, I got to thinking about that. Why do we love giving? And why do we love getting? Well, because I believe tonight, as the Bible tells us in Genesis, we're made what? In the image of God. And he gave his son. And guess what? He didn't give it begrudgingly. He didn't give it out of anger or out of hate or out of, you know, well, I'm going to give and then I'll see what I can get in return. No, he didn't do that. He just freely gave. Corinthians, now I realize this is talking about in the scope of, you know, church offerings and whatnot. But the Bible says God loveth what? A cheerful giver. Well, I believe when God gave us his son, he might have been just a little bit cheerful about that. Because he knew that he was now making us a way back to himself. A creation that was created for fellowship with God. Now you think about that tonight. The God of all creation. The God who created everything we see here. And he created us because he desired fellowship with us. I mean, you really boil it down to that thought, that he wanted our fellowship. Guess what? Sometimes we don't even want our own fellowship. But he does. And he loveth the cheerful giver. He freely gives. And it does bring us joy to give to others, though, and it's right to share our love by our giving. But you know that my fear is this: we will give a lot of temporary stuff while neglecting the gift that really matters. And that's the Son of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight I invite you, think about your own testimony tonight. Think about how God made himself known to you just in time. Listen, you're here tonight, you're saved. Some of us, we got saved when we were younger. Some got saved when we were middle age. Some got saved when we were a little bit older. Guess what? You got saved just at the time God had appointed for you. Not a moment sooner, not a moment later. And then thank God for the gift of life through His Son. And then, you know, this year, if you do Christmas cards or you do letters, you know, especially to your unsaved friends, your unsaved family members, maybe include a brief word about how grateful you are for Jesus. Maybe slip a gospel track in that Christmas card or that Christmas letter. Because ultimately, this Christmas season, it's not about what's under the tree at home, but it's about the one who hung on the tree, on the cross of Calvary, for your sins and my sins. And so let's make much of Jesus this season. Let's pray.